God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Aru! This is Dog Poet Visible, grounded in the saucer pod a short distance north of the Alps. There's been an inexplicable end to communications, which may or may not resolve itself soon. I don't know what to make of it, but in keeping with the condition, I've neither read nor watched any news in over 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, as you'll shortly see. So I have no idea what's happening in the world, or has happened since the end of January. Truth be told, I could have gone through the trouble of commuting back and forth from an internet cafe, but I felt no inclination to do so, and I don't like swimming against the current of life's natural flow for me. In former times, I went to extraordinary lengths to accomplish whatever I was about in these areas, but now I just walk away and wait. I find I'm going to have to go through a major fashing or carnival celebration to get this radio show out to you this evening, so if you aren't hearing me right now, you will know I was hindered by yet more technical difficulties. Worst case scenario, I have still the rest of the month to wait until I'm online. That will make it well over 2 months in a first world country, which has got to be some kind of a record. Lucky for me, I missed being here for the first month. It seems, or so I've been told, that this will be cleared up this week. We'll see. In the meantime, given that I note it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to share with you another collection of poems as filler until I'm back in orbit. Well, that didn't work out, did it? You never heard that show, and it doesn't seem now that my internet is going to be back on anytime soon, or on at all. I'll just have to jump through a few hoops until I'm back in my sunnier clime with the wireless and a more dependable routine. I don't want to disappoint James and leave dead air all over his site every week, nor do I want you to have to go to the virtual icebox and find nothing but leftovers in a covered dish. I don't want to disappoint what few people actually listen to these shows. Just joking. My opinion has always been that if even one person takes any pleasure or enjoyment from anything I'm able to do, then that makes the entire effort worthwhile. I'm not one of your well-heeled personalities from the alternative media. At the same time, I also don't believe that the Saudis control Hollywood either. The good news is that the usual psychopathic money men who control both sides of most arguments and play them off against each other to the confusion of the public is not an operation here. We do what we can. We're limited by our limitations, which we struggle against in hope of some imagined and ongoing refinement of product and presentation. And we hope that a time might come when I and my invisible friends might be of some greater use to you. In the meantime, we hope you will forgive our lack of wisdom and understanding in the present. The road is long and the failures are a common feature. Time will tell if all this swimming against the redundant tides will ever result in some clearer and more comprehensive message. That said, I suppose I'll have to come up with something to talk about tonight. As I said, I haven't seen any news, so I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know nothing about nothing, so I can't talk about it. Perhaps I should talk about what I sense and intuit, keeping in mind that though there is some confidence here about what is probably happening, I don't know much about where or when, not nearly so much as about who, what, and why. One of the main concerns in the wider world is the sooner or later unprovoked and morally indefensible assault by Israel upon Iran, and of course their ongoing genocide against the Palestinians, and their sooner or later intention to attack Lebanon and Syria. The Lebanese assault is a certainty because Israel wants the water from the Litani River, and they will have to steal and kill to get it, and they don't mind that at all. Soulless whores in the American Congress fully support this because they serve at the permission of Israel, and that is where their allegiance lies. But enough about the ambitions of a criminal enterprise masquerading as a sovereign nation. They're not the only ones, and a new world is coming. It's coming slow, but it's coming sure, and it's coming long for the duration of its stay. Cosmic scriptwriters are snorting ambrosia and drinking soma in virtual rooms somewhere on the upper astral plane. And they are churning out the dramas to come, selecting the actors to fill the roles. A lot of those actors are presently rehearsing for their future roles on the world's stage at this time. There's no reason for so many people to be suffering and dying at the moment except to fulfill corporate quotas or to keep the munitions manufacturers happy. And then again, you might say it's all karma, and I'm inclined to think that it is true that that is so, because it is altogether possible that these same people were rehearsing their present roles in former times when they were doing the same things they are running into now. I catch a lot of static from people when I mention karma because they think these things shouldn't be happening. But then again, so do I. I don't think they should be happening either, but they are happening. And there's a reason for it. We might not know what the reason is, but I'm pretty confident there is one. This plane of existence is a field of conflict. That is a given. Given that it's all composed of fire, earth, air, and water interacting upon an inflexible ether, well, these elements don't get along with each other. They are at war with each other. This is as true in physics as it is in metaphysics, and the path of wisdom is to seek out the manner by which one might harmonize their elements and leave the field of battle. There are techniques for this, but they take lifetimes to learn, and you have to be dedicated, to say the least. That's where suffering comes in. Suffering provides us with the dedication by making everything hurt. We deceive ourselves by thinking next time it won't hurt, but it always hurts, even if only in the process of losing whatever it is that you have, or are attracted to, or are attached to, and you will lose it if you have it here. We take only a few things with us when we go. The records of our deeds, our enduring friendships, what we have learned, and what we have become. And these things are no different than rail or airline tickets. They automatically route us in the direction we are determined to go, based on either some portion of wisdom or a greater degree of ignorance, or the other way around if you prefer. We're something beautiful and indefinable to begin with, and then comes the overlay. Our initial beauty is one of innocence, our final state is one of realized self-awareness, and that is composed of regenerated innocence born of experience. We are, in truth, the spirit in search of experience. But all these experiences have one purpose in mind, and that is to bring us to the point where we know ourselves and are made free. Along the way, we get into some awful tangles, but our good friend Death is there to cut us loose so that we might continue on again. It's possible to remain here and in even less attractive places for near immeasurable periods of time, and there are some that wish to, believing it is better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. That is, of course, a total lie, but it's also a matter of personal choice. I can say with a great degree of honesty that I don't particularly enjoy having life beat the crap out of me, but then again, why am I holding on to the crap? It's a peculiarity of the mind that we can know various things and yet not know them either. Maybe the recognition that we do not know and never will might be a helpful guide and a good starting place. Something happened last night that is the sort of thing that usually makes me very sad, and I will admit that I was sad on the surface, but while I was laying in my bed and feeling this sorrow, I noticed that underneath the sorrow I wasn't sad at all. In fact, I felt quite good. The sorrow just wasn't strong enough to affect the joy that has become a more and more frequent companion of mine as more and more of the crap gets beaten out of me along the way. It's starting to look like the more crap that gets removed, either through personal effort or cosmic pummeling, the more joy I get in return. It's that nature of boring a vacuum kind of thing. It is really looking to me like the more one lets go of anything and everything, the easier it all gets. That's the thing I always liked about the Hare Krishna movement. That capacity to lose oneself in a constant remembrance of the divine through chanting the name of the divine. Unlike a lot of people, I really enjoyed seeing them on the street and their free feasts. They were fantastic. The food was some of the best I ever ate. I couldn't join them, though, because of the dark side of organization. Any organization. That doesn't mean I can't respect them. I just don't like being pushed around, and I don't like hierarchies and pecking orders. I've been to some number of ashrams, and I've lived in a few, and no matter where you go, there are these clerk minds, these Oliver Cromwell types who weasel themselves into positions of authority so that they can push people around. I'm speaking here in a general fashion, and certainly not about the Krishnas, because I was never a part of that. It's probably just as well that I realize you have to walk that road alone, even though, of course, you are never alone. And that the real location and structure of the original spiritual organization is the universe and everyone that's in it. Of course, for a time, some are attracted to the red light district, and some are attracted to the malls, and some are attracted to book clubs and horse shows. They'll be there until their interest or their business is completed, and what they do and where they go is not my business. I am responsible, as are you, for what I encounter, because that is what is written into the script of my existence with a certain amount of permissible free form. We're on our way the moment we set off on our way, and everything is managed from that point unless we decide we're going to manage it. And we'll be allowed to do that until we get into trouble and get stuck on one glue board or another, and then the divine has to step in and make the necessary adjustments. Eventually we get the point that we are not the one to manage the course, but that our job is only to walk it and to remember that everything is under control and to say, I don't know a lot. It's not a great deal to remember, and therefore it is surprising that people forget, unless they didn't know it to begin with. But that's where suffering and loss come in. Because these two characters will eventually bring you to the point where it dawns on you that you don't know, and where you recognize that you have no power over anything. And then, of course, comes the awareness that everything's under control. To be perfectly honest with you, I have no idea what's coming up. I know it's going to be world-shaking and personally transformative for a lot of people in both good and bad ways, relatively speaking. I don't know how important it is to know what's coming. Seems to me it's more important to be fixed on your objective regardless of the changes in scenery and circumstance. I suppose I could have an opinion on all those people watching network TV and who believe the lying politicians and the big hair Rolex-wearing preachers asking them for money. I could have an opinion about drunks telling people they can't get high, and corporations whose armies of lawyers in faceless suits victimize the public and herd some portion of the human race onto the killing floor. But what good is an opinion? I don't really know what any of it means. I have some idea what it means, because that has a lot to do with what I think and say and do, so I must have a basic outline of some kind. But I don't actually know, and that's a good thing, because the less I know, the more it seems to increase the liters of joy I am able to contain. The same can be said about understanding that everything is under control. And the trust which comes with that understanding also acts like a hand on the joy pump. You know, we're getting near the end of our broadcast period, and I'd like to apologize for missing the last couple of shows. I can only say that it just wasn't possible. Or it didn't seem possible, even though I'm sure I could have forced the issue, but I didn't want to do that. I don't really know how many people listen to this show. If I were to go by the amount of times I hear about it, I'd say not many. If I go by the amount of downloads, I'd say quite a few. Although nothing that would compete with even a small market radio. But that's not important, however. I like to be a reliable sort. I'm uncomfortable if I feel I'm being unreliable. So there's more joy in it if I am reliable. At the same time, I don't want to push the river. Things will be what they will be, because everything's under control. If you think things are out of control, then my sense is that you've gotten the impression it's up to you. It's not up to you or me. It's a very simple thing, and it only gets complicated when you start talking about it. Thinking about it can make it complicated, too, so that's something to think about. I know it can look a little grim at the moment. Sometimes, with entities like Goldman Sachs and their international banking cronies intentionally crashing the economic system just so more of the youth will be inclined to go into the military in order to provide cannon fodder for gratuitous wars so that they can make more money off their munitions holdings and all the other industries that profit and prosper from carnage and devastation, like Carlyle and Halliburton. Sometimes it seems like ain't nothing gonna change. Don't bank on that. They're banking on that, but what they don't know is that the universe is manipulating them into position to become a telling lesson for generations of wannabe gangsters and grifters in three-piece suits. That's something you can take to the bank, and you'll get interest back on whatever faith you invest in, what has yet to become the substance of things unseen. I will try my best. I will endeavor my best to be here each week from now on. It has just been an unfortunate thing, and I know you don't like listening to reruns any more than I like doing them, which I don't think is a possibility. But anyway, I think that's just about going to wrap it up. But in the interim, before I see or before you hear me again and I see you in my mind as I'm talking to you, I want you to crank up your internal generator in whatever way you're accustomed to and pump those pedals till the light comes on and grants you the illumination to walk right out of the darkness of this world. And believe me, it's altogether possible. It's altogether possible for anyone who wants it badly enough and is willing to put the time and determination into it. Well, I'll see you next week if there is one. And so I leave you with aloha and aru!
You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.